It is not over yet, but it's real close. It is real close. And we'll talk about from the Spurs perspective in a second. Also weaving throughout the conversation tonight is some iconic photos, snapshots in New York championship history. I got a tweet 4 minutes ago from at Deep Blue 1958. He said, Danielle, not in game, but one of the top iconic New York sports photos is, you know, the photo. It's Joe Namath running off the field after the guarantee. Jets win the Super Bowl, which is wild. And there's Joe Namath running off the field with his right arm extended up at a 90-degree angle and his index finger pointing to the sky, helmet still on. People, fans, question mark, are patting him on the back, and he's running off the field. Yes, that is absolutely iconic. You know, I just thought of another one, also not in game, but like Aaron Rodgers running out with the American flag. I don't want to talk about what happened after that, but that is a pretty cool-looking photo. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. We got Herb calling in from Long Island. What's up, Herb?
Hey, Danielle. I was going to mention Joe Namath, too.
Someone stole your thunder on the internet.
It was Don Larson who Yogi Berra jumped into his arms when he threw the no-hitter.
Oh, my bad.
Now, I'm 63, so Willis walking into the tunnel, out of the tunnel, and the Lakers stood there in shock, and they lost the game. Jesse Orosco throwing his mitt up in the 86 World Series.
I wasn't alive for that, but in my mind, I do know what that looks like. Yes, good one. Okay.
And Mark Messier getting the cup in 94.
Yeah, afterwards, right, where he's hoisting it up and like, yeah, I know that photo too.
And then the Mets when they're winning in 69 when they all ran to the pitcher's mound in game 5 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all good ones. Look at you, Herb. You're like a walking encyclopedia. Okay. Good job.
And both my grandmothers were New York City school teachers, and my sister Amy's retiring from the Plain Edge School District on Tuesday. She's getting an award.
All right. Congratulations to her. It's not a rewarding career, I'll tell you that much.
And I was a little boy in front that had to sit near the school teacher, so I wasn't an angel. I wasn't a double.
Wait, I didn't mean to say not a rewarding. It's late. I've been up for almost 24 hours. It's a rewarding career, sure, but it's not it's a thankless. That's what I was going for. It's a thankless career. Yes. Congratulations to her.
All right. Thank you for your time. Yeah, have a great weekend.
Thanks for your input here. Good job. I'm also thinking of, I just had one on top of my head, and then I said the wrong word there, and I messed up, and I forgot what it was. Oh, I got another one. I was just thinking about it as he was talking about the Mets, the 69 Mets. The Charlie Hayes catch. What year was that? Was it 1996 World Series, was it? Yeah, 1996. Charlie Hayes in foul territory. Goes up, makes the catch. Yankees win the World Series in 1996. Mark Lemke hit it. I'm reading now, but I talked to Charlie Hayes about that play. I don't know if this is like common knowledge, but it was mind-blowing to me at the time. I posted it. You could see it. He said on the play prior, it was years and years ago. It was like 9 years ago now at this point, but he told me, one of the prior plays, we'll put it that way. One of the prior plays, he broke a finger on his throwing hand. I'd have to find the audio back from the interview I did with him. But he broke a finger on his throwing hand. And he said he was praying to God in the field that it wasn't going to be hit to him on the ground, because he wouldn't have been able to make the throw. So he instead welcomed the pop-up, made the catch. The rest is history. Crazy story, huh? That's true. If you Google it, Danielle McCartan, Charlie Hayes, catch, it'll probably come up. Of course, on the break, do that. 888-808-1019. We have Eric in Ronkonkoma. Hey, Eric, long time no speak. How are you?
Yeah, how you doing, Danielle? Good. I hope you got my birthday message a few weeks ago.
I don't think I did, but thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Thank you.
I always keep an eye out for you.
Thank you.
Just real quick to that. Well, a couple of minutes ago, the guy from Long Island, Plain Edge is my alma mater where I grew up. So,
look at that.
Congratulations to So,
did you know her?
Good. What's up?
Did you know his sister? Well, I guess we don't know her last name.
No. I mean, I've been out of the district for many years. But congratulations to his sister. My father still lives in the district over there. So,
well, that's cool.
So I still have ties over there to a certain extent. So, but you know what? Look, I mean, as far as tonight, and as far as the iconic picture, how about David Tyree's catch?
Yeah, that's my number one. Right? That's my number
right.
one.
Doing what I do with delivering the papers, I have all these, special moments and stuff.
Right.
They just notified us that, they're probably going to hold the paper for the game tonight.
Yep.
Just in case.
Yes, in case.
I'm going to have access to, every paper that's out there.
You know what, Eric? I don't know if I ever knew that's what you did. My dad used to deliver papers for the Bergen Record in Jersey when I was growing up.
Yeah, I mean, we deliver, all the New York stuff, the Post, Daily News, Newsday, Times, all that. So, I mean, they'll be possibly doing two different covers, stuff like that. That's what they're telling us. I don't know, but... but obviously it depends on, what happens with the game. But, look, I mean, it's been exciting. I went to game one watch party in the city, which was cool. With Al Cintron from the station, that was a crazy scene, and walking around the city afterwards, it was a pretty level headed scene, for that. But of course, the couple of, games afterwards got a little nutty here and there, depending where you were, but, but for the most part, it's been, pretty well behaved, and hopefully it stays the same. It's just a shame that, there seems to be so much, official referee / official involvement.
Yes.
Even though they'll never admit to it, but it's pretty evident, excuse me, but, let's just hope it doesn't interfere with tonight's game. I mean, and if I'm correct, I haven't looked it up, but I'm hearing the Spurs are pretty well favored in tonight's game. Is that correct? Or
I haven't looked, but I can check right now for you. Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, I've been hearing people say the Spurs by 5.5, which is
what?
That's what I was hearing yesterday. I could be wrong.
All right, let's see.
I'm pretty sure they were saying that. If that's the case, that's like a game one.
That's right. Spurs by 5.5. Yep. What?
That's what I mean. So that kind of has me a little concerned, because they'll never admit to it, but that just seems kind of strange considering they're down 3-1, and even though they're home, I can't imagine why they'd be favored by that much with at this stage of the series.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Maybe you're onto something.
The most important thing is, as we've seen in the last two games, the Knicks have to come out flying in the beginning of the game, because the games, 3 and 4, they came out very sluggish. And then that kind of helped dictate the way the rest of the game went. They were very fortunate to come back, obviously, for game four. Mm-hmm. But, you get one basket going the other way out of that whole sequence, and the game's over.
Yep.
So they got to come out strong. I think that's ridiculous what you were saying with what they're doing with the tickets. I mean, if that were me, that'd be a lawsuit to Ticketmaster immediately.
Right.
How they can even, the person legally purchased the tickets, how can they then go in
exactly.
and take them away?
Exactly. And it's TMZ that's reporting it. So, TMZ is pretty reliable, honest with you. Yeah. I think that's actually crazy that they're doing that. And if you're just tuning in, Eric, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. If you're just tuning in, what is going on at the tickets? Here it is. The headline here from TMZ is San Antonio Spurs canceling Knicks fans tickets for NBA Finals Game 5. Canceling, meaning you already bought them. And here's a screenshot from Ticketmaster. Important event info. Sales to this event, blah, 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 will be restricted to customers residing within a 150-mile radius of Frost Bank Center. Residency will be based on... this is directly from Ticketmaster. Residency will be based on credit card billing address. Orders by residents outside of that radius will be canceled without notice and refund given. That's actually ridiculous. And that is a screenshot on the TMZ website directly from Ticketmaster. Loud and clear. If you already, what if you're already there? What if you're already in town and your ticket gets canceled? It's not about like geolocation on your phone when you buy it. It's about your credit card billing address. It's not right. It's just not right. It's disgusting. And maybe, just maybe, if that's what you wanted to do, then the Spurs should have put, you know, bumpers on it and parameters on it before the tickets were even bought. You go to San Antonio for the game, you get time off of work, and then you can't go to the game? It's disgusting what's going on there. And I saw something ridiculous, like the New York Post at like 5:30 p.m. said, nearly 50% of tickets for Game 5 were purchased by New York and New Jersey fans. And only 12% of tickets were bought by Texas area customers. Too bad. I mean, too bad. Win more games. I don't know what to tell you. Penalize the season ticket holders that are selling the tickets. Start there. Don't talk to me about, you know, New York and New Yorkers and New Jerseyans that are going down to witness history. I can't do this. It's just, that is just not fair. On some level, has to be illegal on some level. And it's just disgusting. It's disgusting. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. And I wanted to look at this, too, from this perspective. Because as well as the Knicks are playing, the Spurs had it, then collapsed. So my question is, could the Spurs, Eric just told us all, it's a 5.5 point spread and that the Spurs are favored by 5.5. Could the Spurs get back into the series? Could the San Antonio Spurs, led by Dylan Harper and Victor Wembanyama, could they get back and deliver the biggest blow to New York City sports ever? Could they? And you heard Jalen Brunson just a little while ago. He said it's not over. Yeah, it's not. Because while the Spurs still have a game on their schedule, it is not over. There is a perspective that exists, and I'm not saying that's mine, but there is a perspective that does exist that looks at this series and says, well, the Knicks didn't win those games. The Spurs lost them. And it's not totally off the mark. Like, if you're playing darts, it doesn't miss the dartboard, that take, that perspective. Because if you remember, the San Antonio Spurs had double-digit leads in the games that they lost. Double-digit leads. Games in games 1, 2, and 4. And game 1, it was 14 points. Game 2, it was 12 points. Game 4, it was, of course, 29 points. The San Antonio Spurs in game 1 had a lead until 1 minute and 51 seconds to go in the fourth. In game 2, they had a lead with 40 seconds to go in the game and lost. In game 4, the Spurs had a lead, as we know, with 3 seconds left to go in the game and lost. So staying in line with this perspective, you can look at this and say, the Spurs gave it away, that they coughed it away. They haven't been playing bad basketball. I mean, the first quarter of game 4 was as great as it could possibly get. Let's be honest. And I saw on First Take on Friday, Magic Johnson said, word for word, he said, the Knicks know the Spurs are capable of beating them. End quote. I believe him. So if Victor Wembanyama has his legs under him late in game 4, could it have looked different? Yes, no doubt about it. And then again, look at the scores of game 2 and 4. 1-point losses for the Spurs. No doubt about it. That is the messaging that Mitch Johnson is telling his team. Maybe even now. Maybe they can't sleep. Maybe he's talking to him now. But he's telling them, you guys lost 2 games by 1 point each. You're right in this. I'm telling you. I mean, that would be my messaging to my own team. And I think that desperate times call for desperate measures. And I would not be surprised. In fact, what I would do is I would start Dylan Harper later tonight in game 5. He can make plays for anybody. He can also make plays for himself and take over the game. Every night, we're reminded multiple times during the broadcast, he's not a rookie. It's Richard Jefferson and company reminding us he is, but he's not playing like one. And you've got De'Aaron Fox, who has not lived up to billing. And sure, maybe he's hampered by, slowed down by that high ankle sprain. Maybe. But he definitely is not the veteran leader that the San Antonio Spurs were hoping that he would be in moments, in games like this. So what I would do, and I would not be surprised if Coach Johnson does, I'd give the start to Harper, and I would just see what happens. I mean, can't be any worse. Put it that way. It can't be any worse. And if you're the Spurs, you're at home, you want to put the Knicks on watch right from the jump. How do you do it? Well, De'Aaron Fox hasn't been that guy. So I'd give the start to Harper. And I was just saying before, you might notice, maybe you're hearing me for the first time, but when things happen in other markets, like when Brady retired, I tuned in. You know, the Odyssey app is great for that, actually. You go in and you type in, like, I just typed in San Antonio, and then the sports station came up, about 97.1 and whatever the name of it is. But, you know, I fired up the free Odyssey app. I was driving for about, 40 minutes, and I was like, let me listen to 40 minutes of San Antonio Sports Talk Radio. It was Thursday. After school Thursday, I had a little drive. And, I just love doing it. And I think, on a separate note, like, there's something to be said for live local radio and the live local callers. It's you can't replace it. No podcast is going to replace that. So the first couple minutes of me listening as I'm driving along, here in the highways of New Jersey. I wasn't going too fast, actually. It was 7 miles an hour to start for the first 15 minutes of the drive. I had this idiot behind me just beeping at me. I'm doing 7 miles an hour, and I am totally blockaded in every which way, and he's beeping at me. And then he's slowing down and speeding up and beeping at me. I'm in the mirror. I'm like, what do you want me to do? I said in the mirror, right to his face. He didn't respond. New York plates. Mm-hmm. Watch out for them New York plates. They think they own the road. But anyway, as I'm driving, the host said these two sentences. I did text to speech in the notes, so I got it directly right. He said, I woke up angrier than I went to sleep. I'm doing the Texas accent, I woke up angrier than I went to sleep. And then he said, it was a brutal meltdown last night. And he's not wrong, right? Then this, I don't know if it's just Texas, but this optimistic caller called in. Because the first caller of the night for us, Paul in Yonkers, I mean, it was like the Knicks were down 3-0 at this point, the gloom and doom he brought. So, I don't know, maybe it's just the Texas callers are just generally optimistic. But he said, we gave away these games more so than the Knicks have beaten them. And he said, this team has surprised us many times this playoffs. And then he pointed to game 7 road win in OKC. So can it happen for the Spurs? Can they deliver the largest, the biggest disaster in New York sports championship history? Can they do it? I guess they can, but it won't happen. I mean, this Knicks team is too battle-tested. It plays too well together. The depth built into it is so far superior than San Antonio's. And you look at what these players are saying about, like, Josh Hart, who missed the layup, okay? That's all we'd be talking about tonight if it wasn't for OG Anunoby. So Josh Hart recognized that. He said, I have a special shout-out for OG because he saved me, at least for this game, a lifetime of regret. That's strong and true. So the way this team plays together, and by the way, you know, he goes down the court and falls onto the ground, you know, throughout the course of play, and he's sitting there with his head in his hands. Three guys ran over to him, picked him right up. And then the Knicks ended up winning that game. I mean, this seems to be a team of destiny. You know what I mean? So for me, it's not a question of if the Knicks can win it all. It's just, for me, a matter of when. And I mentioned Magic Johnson a couple minutes ago. He also said on First Take, the Knicks know that they're better. And this is a quote, better, especially in crucial moments. And crucial moments win championships. Just ask OG Anunoby. So, yes, the Spurs have collapsed and lost two games of the four only by 2 points. But you have to look, you know, combined 2 points, but you have to look at the other side of that and say, what I believe to be true. The Knicks earned those wins. They earned every possession. They fought for every point, and they deserve to win those games. And by the way, they overcame, and I know you know this, they overcame not only the opponent, but the officiating crew too. And again, let's not get started on that. 888-808-1019. And if you know me, Danielle McCartan, that is, you know that I've always advocated for, and I will continue to advocate for, officials and referees to have to answer questions after games. Maybe not all of them, but maybe the crew chief in baseball or a referee that was forced into making a huge call in the game. I mean, I would have loved to have heard from that crew that night that didn't get that clear and obvious flagrant 2 on Wembanyama when he manhandled Brunson. And then also, too, one sec, why is the ref, you know, when he leans over the desk and leans forward, why is that ref calling him Wemby anyway? You might find that a little weird, or is it just me? For now, what I call that guy, dirty player, filthy player, choke artist, Wembanyama, the full name. These are the words I'm going to use to describe that dude. But I just think across all sports, to keep the integrity of the game, the officiating crew should have to answer questions after games. I've been saying it for years. Make it happen. Which is going to be the first league, you know, professional, real pro league? Because I think, is it the XFL, UFL, one of the football leagues? They did it. I know they did it. But Major League Baseball, NFL, like NBA, NHL, like step up and have to and do it. Which one will do it first? None of them. 888-808-1019. Also weaving in the most iconic snapshot, single snapshot in New York sports championship history. Again, we're not talking about Babe Ruth, things like that. Ones you've seen. 888-808-1019. My name is Danielle McCartan, right here on The Fan. The Knicks can send the Spurs packing tonight, and they can be hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Crazy. People wait a lifetime for a moment like this. Let me channel in Kelly Clarkson here. She's in studio. No, I'm just kidding. But people have waited a lifetime for this. And if OG, if the Knicks end up winning it all, the OG Anunoby tip-in from Game 4 at the Garden, front of the home crowd, you know, the whole deal, that, for me, is number 2 of, I'm 38 years old, of sports moments in New York City championship history, like lore. Number 1 is the David Tyree helmet catch. The number 2, hopefully, will be, because if they have to win it, but hopefully, according to my rules here, hopefully will be OG Anunoby's tip-in. And I got Doug Pucci call on Twitter over the break. Oh, how can I forget this one? 1998. He gave me a couple. 1998. Tino Martinez, Game 1 World Series, go-ahead Grand Slam. Of course, the Yankees went on to win that series. I mean, he was my favorite player at the time. I was 10. 1998, I was 10. And I loved Tino Martinez. My dad used to be like, he gets his, I know he gets his haircut in Tenafly. Let's go. No, let's not go. I've met Tino Martinez doing this, and it's pretty cool. But anyway, that home run, that swing, you remember it in the pinstripes? Yeah, that's iconic as well. And Doug Pucci said, Jesse Orozco, but, Wade Boggs on the horse. Yeah, those technically were after. I'm just making rope rules as we go along. 888-808-1019. All good ones, Douglas. Thank you for that. We're talking Knicks. It's been a full Knicks show tonight. I do want to shout out the A's, though, because actually the highlights are on the TV right now. The A's, the Las Vegas A's is what I'll call them. They took all three games at the ballpark out there in Summerlin. I don't know if you've ever been to the ballpark out there in Summerlin. It's where the minor league team for the A's plays. It is beautiful. I mean, there's ample parking. The stadium is small, of course, but beautiful. There's a like think of the Arizona Diamondbacks. There's a pool in the outfield, which is on my bucket list to go but it's a group tickets only, so I got to get a big group. It's a beautiful stadium, and when we went, you kind of cut through the parking lot, and there's a whole bunch of after the game, a whole bunch of bars and restaurants you can hit up after the game. So it was a great experience, and I'm really very happy that the A's have, my friend actually that lives out there sent me, I'm getting mixed up on days, Thursday, I guess it was. She sent me, she was driving by the stadium, and this was Thursday at 7:18 p.m. our time, and she sent me a picture of the construction going on there. It's coming up fast, I'll tell you that much. It is going up fast. It's very cool. Vegas, as you know, is my second city. 888-808-1019. Of course, New York is number one. Let's go right down these call boards here. We got Jerry, who's tuning in from Florida on the free Odyssey app. Jerry, what part of Florida? I got cousins down there.
I'm in Naples, Southwest Florida.
All right, so I have cousins in, I can fly into either Sarasota or I can fly into Tampa, and they're equidistant, so right in between them.
Yeah, not too far away from me, really.
Yeah, I know.
So I was born and brought up in Brooklyn, and I'm going to name a couple of moments that people don't remember very much anymore, but the first one was so famous it was given a name.
Okay.
The shot heard round the world. In 1951, a Bobby Thompson home run in a Giant Dodger playoffs. Mm-hmm. You can see it on YouTube. It's an amazing moment. And the second one is in 1954, the New York baseball Giants played the Cleveland Indians in the World Series. The Indians had won 111 games. Were overwhelming favorites, mm-hmm. and the Giants won four straight. And that had the catch. Do you know what the catch was?
I could see it in my head. Center field, right? Over the shoulder in center field, right?
Right.
Who made
it's
the catch?
The Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
It's the Willie Mays catch.
I drew a total blank on that. Yes, I do see that in my head. I mean, obviously I wasn't alive for that, but yes, I do know that photo. Yes, that's a good one.
It was an amazing moment, okay? And I'll say one more thing. In 1970, Game 7, you can probably find 500,000 people who say they were there. I was there.
Wow.
I was there. I was a 30-year season ticket holder for the Knicks. And I saw the Knicks back in the 50s when the team had a front court of... Kenny Sears and Willie Knowles and Carl Braun and Dick McGuire in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. And the center was 6'6", Harry Gallatin, 6'6".
And you were there for the Reed game?
I was there for the Reed game. And I'll tell you, I've been to a lot of games in my life. I was a Knicks season ticket holder for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I was a Giants season ticket holder for 30 years. And I've never been in a stadium that was rocked like that. The place was just going crazy. Not the shot so much, when he came out of the locker room.
Right.
I mean, nobody knew that he was going to come out of the locker room. Nobody knew. Okay? And I'll tell you another thing about that game. Mm-hmm. Everybody says they don't remember Walt Frazier. Well, everybody remembers Walt Frazier in that game, what he did. But people don't remember what Dave DeBuscher did.
What's that?
Dave DeBuscher did, first of all, he scored 18 points and had 17 rebounds, and he guarded Wilt Chamberlain. Mm. Dave DeBuscher was 6'5" and guarded one of the great athletes of all time, Wilt Chamberlain, and shut him down.
Mm. Amazing. So, I'm like looking through the photos here on Google, like, I can't believe you were there for that. It's so freaking cool. I'm like jealous. If there's one game that I would like to ever go back in time and watch, it's that one. It's cool.
Well, I'll say it. I'm a big fan of this team, and this team plays great basketball. They play defense.
Yes.
They play as a team. They move without the ball. I went to James Madison High School in Brooklyn. They had a legendary coach. Okay. A guy named Jamie Moskowitz, and he's in the Hall of Fame in New York. And he told me when I played, he told me two things. I don't care if you ever score a point. Play defense, yes, and hit the open man.
Yep.
Hit the open man. He taught me to pass, and he taught me to play defense. And it was, you know, and I'm 82 years old. I'm still playing basketball.
Whoa, that's awesome. Good for you, Jerry. Appreciate you calling in. I love that. You had some great stories, and I appreciate you taking the time tonight. Thank you.
Have a good night. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right.
Wow. 82 and still playing basketball. That's crazy, because I'll tell you something. A couple years ago, I got two friends from my softball team to play in a basketball league with me. And the caller before was talking about, earlier in the show, was talking about like rough basketball games. Like, I didn't realize I was signing my friends and I up for, like, the WNBA, basically, is what was happening in Wayne, New Jersey. And there was a live stream of it, and the kids in my class found the live stream and were watching and were heckling me the next day. I mean, I was not ready for it. So at 82 years old, that's great for you, because I could not even get up and down the court. None of us could. It's a different, like, basketball is a different. It's just different. Different. 888-808-1019. Yeah, that Willis Reed game, that's one I would have loved to have been there for. You know what I'm saying? 888-808-1019. We'll go down the call. So here we go to Ray in Brooklyn. Hey, Ray, what's on your mind?
Hey, Danielle. Good morning. What's on my mind is that I didn't listen to your old show. I had just tuned in, and you were giving a perspective that you heard from the San Antonio fans and media.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, anyone who has that that conception, that is a misconception. Because, Danielle, looking objectively at these games, and I say it even after victories, so I can't be sore losing, we're up 3-1. Listen, as soon as Cat proved that he can dominate Wemby,
yeah,
the league was probably taken aback. I said, whoa, we can't have this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a short series. Yeah, look at the fouls that he's picking up. Wemby ripped off Alvarado's head. Mm-hmm. He threw Jalen Brunson in the dirt like he was an ostrich. And then, you know, he goes after OG. They're not calling this objectively at all.
Yeah.
How is Cat the one in foul trouble? This guy's not even getting foul calls on any of the ones that I mentioned.
I know.
I mean, it's egregious. And then Jalen Brunson, you know, and Gordon the other day made a great point. He's like, I don't want to hear that Jalen Brunson has been inefficient. He's like, you know why that is? Because every time he's getting fouls on his shot, they don't call it. So it goes down as a missed shot. But if you have a, and I'm going to add this part, if he's wearing an SGA jersey, if he's wearing a B, you know, Luka, or anybody else's jersey, he's going to the line 17 times. And yeah, rather than shooting,
I know,
like a 9 for 25 like he did one game, he's more like 9 for 18, and he's got 10 more points from the free throw line. He's looking like the greatest player that ever lived. It's just not. And look, I'm so frustrated, even though we're winning. The only reason why I feel that he can keep it competitive is because they're taking out our second best player at the start of these last few games.
Correct.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Danielle, I'm just so frustrated. If the Knicks, there's no way they can beat us on on, you know, on a neutral with a neutral whistle. No way. I just don't think we get a neutral whistle. So I might, you know, I can see a scenario where they win a close game tomorrow. I hope the Knicks defy the league and don't comply with them again. And you know, I think I got Knicks in five, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had to do it at the Garden, because this is just it's just unreal. It's
like WWE
stuff.
Yeah, Ray, and thanks for the call. It's almost like the NBA knows how many eyeballs are on this series, and they're instructing the officiating crew to make sure that it extends long, because obviously the longer it goes, the more money they make. You know, the more eyeballs are on it, the more money they make. I mean, that's what it sounds and seems like. And now they're all of a sudden canceling the tickets that were already bought by Knicks fans in San Antonio. They're just canceling the tickets. I mean, they're trying to do everything that they can to make sure that this game, this series stretches as many games as possible. No doubt about it. Some more of your Knicks calls, of course, coming up. Jets, Giants, OTAs, if you wanted to talk about that. Yankees staying afloat with Judge and, you know, the Mets. Maybe Bo Bichette had his breakout moment earlier, a couple hours ago. And what about maybe the UFC fight on the White House South Lawn this weekend? Like, there's other things going on, but of course the number one story is the New York Knicks. And I'm Danielle McCart. It's been a bit, and we'll catch up. How about that? Next, right here on The Fan. Spurs Elimination Day. Also weaving in throughout the conversation early this morning they're flashing some on TV right now, some iconic moments. There's the Billy Buckner. Oh, we talked about all of these. Look at this on ESPN, MLB Network right now. Look at this. Cool. So what I'm talking about is the most iconic snapshots in New York City sports history, championship history. So, you know, I offered the David Tyree helmet catch. If the Knicks go on and win this, which I don't see why they would not, I'm going to add the snapshot of OG Anunoby with his go-go gadget arm tipping the ball in also to that, library. We had some great suggestions from listeners on the internet and on the phone lines. My friend Chris is driving home. He's in a band, the Benjamins, and he's driving home right now, and he's listening throughout his entire drive. And he texted me, he's like, I was going to say, since the Jets don't have that many moments, I'll suggest the Mark Sanchez butt fumble. Okay, good for you. He's a Cowboys fan, so. Yeah, the butt fumble. I remember that night very particularly. I actually turned the TV off and went upstairs to bed right after that. Disgusting. Disgusted. Yeah, butt fumble. The best moment in Jets history, that's for sure. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. And we're talking, obviously, the Knicks. And we'll catch up in a second because it's been a while, right? It's been a while since you and I have talked. So we'll do that. But I want to get to your calls, because if you call in, you deserve to get on. So let's go to, in the order that you called, let's go Rich in Manhattan. Hey, Rich, what's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Coach. Listen, a couple of items for you. This thing with the tickets, I think when you buy a ticket, you buy a ticket. But based on the zip code of your card, this has been done before when the 49ers played the Seahawks mm-hmm. in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. And it's wrong. It's just wrong. You buy it.
Right, that's it.
But I have sort of an opposite thing. You're asking about iconic moments and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot older than you. I was 8 when the Knicks won in 70. I was 11 when they won in 73. I'd love to see them win again. But we've been through a lot of things. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase regarding the Yankees, the Horace Clark years.
Mm.
It's the era between when Mickey Mantle retired and George Steinbrenner started buying the players.
Okay.
The abyss.
Mm-hmm.
So the Knicks, what player would be the abyss symbol over the 53 years? I'd like to nominate either Eddie Curry or Wilson Champ.
I mean, I'm going to defer to you on this because, you know, you've been there,
in your years.
So like a player that's just like not...
Where they had high hopes, made a lot of money, and they just muddled on. Even Howard Eisley.
I would say this. I would say, and it's funny that you asked that question, because I'm sitting here in a hat signed by, a Knicks hat signed by Channing Frye, a guy who was picked 8th overall by the Knicks in 2005.
Right, from Arizona State.
Lasted 2 years with the Knicks. 2 year career with the Knicks, and then he was dumped. So maybe that. I mean, there's been like a lot though, because it's been dire at times for the Knicks. I mean, you could just...
it's just the phrase when you refer to an era that's a down era. Like with me and the Mets, it would be the Skip Lockwood Mets of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the iconic winning New York picture, it's got to be Bob Nystrom's overtime goal for the Islanders.
Mm, good one.
Got to be.
Yeah, good one. All right, Rich, appreciate the contributions here. Let's go Knicks. By the way, just coming through my phone, because I just saw it now, of course, and doing a live show and all that. In case you want to set your alarm. Okay, the Knicks are hosting watch parties. This came out like 45 minutes ago. Crazy, right? The Knicks are hosting watch parties. Okay, 3 of them. 1 at Radio City Music Hall. 2, yes, Plaza 33. And 3, the Woolman Rink in Central Park. Here's the information you need to know. Set your alarm. They're all ticketed events. I'm pretty sure. I'll read through it again one more time. But you know, I was kind of grazing that as he was talking. Sorry about that. But this is important information for you. 10 a.m. Saturday, June 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern is the pre-registration is required for all 3 events. Tickets will be made available to fans on Saturday, June 13th at 10 a.m. Events will include program. I'm reading this from the press release. Select alumni appearances, contests, photo opportunities, and more. Okay, so the one at Radio City, because as you know, there's a 5 Seconds of Summer concert at Madison Square Garden. Obviously, they're not going to kick them out. Tickets are required. They're $10 each. Of course, they benefit the Garden of Dreams Foundation. Okay. We'll also host a free watch party outside Madison Square Garden at Plaza 33 for Game 5. The event will hold, here it is, a maximum of 3,000. So the mayor won at $9.99. Dolan won at $10,000. They settled on 3,000 ticketed fans within the NYPD Frozen Zone. Only ticketed watch party fans will be permitted entry and must be through security and in place no later than 8:30 p.m. to enter the watch party at Plaza 33. Another free watch party will be held for fans at Woolman Rink in Central Park. Pre-registration is required for all 3 events and will be made available. So I'm going to try this website right now because this is kind of like live here. So let's go knicks.com/playoffs, and that should bring you to the pre-registration page. Yes, there it is. So if you go to knicks.com/playoffs, and this is pretty new news here. So knicks.com/playoffs, I'm going to do it on the next break myself. The fan first, you sign up, and then I don't know if it becomes a choice or you just get chosen, register for the fan first program. I'll do it on the break and I'll let you know what it is, but if you wanted to do it, and then at 10 a.m., they are going to be made available. So looks like I'm going to be setting an alarm for 9:55 after 3 hours of sleep, but I would, if I had the choice, I would probably like to do the Radio City Music Hall one, because guess what? I'm getting old and I want to sit and I want to watch in temperature controlled environment and I want a bathroom and things like that. I want all the amenities. So if it's a choice, and if I get them, I am going to choose Radio City Music Hall. I got to verify it with, I'm trying to do it right now. We're going to verify it with ID.me. All right. Oh, boy. Enter password. This is it. See, password is incorrect. Okay, this is going to take me a while, I think, because I have different passwords for all different things. And, did I get it? Second. Woohoo! Second choice. I got it. I am successfully verified. Your submission has been received. Thank you for doing it. Blah, blah. Okay. So you don't get to pick, it looks like. Not at this juncture. Which one? Which, that's what they should do. Right? That's what they should do. Because if you want to do this, you're registered into that one. If you want to do this, you're registered into that one. Not everybody in the same pool crash the website tomorrow at 10 a.m. Do teachers have to run the world? Probably, right? Well, anyway, I'm verified. So what you're going to go to is knicks.com/playoffs. And it took how long? 10 seconds. Once I got the password, about 10 seconds to do. Knicks are holding 3 watch parties. New news. 1 at Radio City Music Hall. $10 each. Per ticket. two free ones inside the Frozen Zone, the NYPD Frozen Zone, for 3,000 ticketed fans. Don't show up if you don't have a ticket. And another free watch party will be held for fans at Woolman Rink in Central Park. Pre-registration, you have to have it. And I'm going to set an alarm on the break for 9:55 a.m. And maybe I'll see you there. Crazy, right? That'd be crazy. And the Knicks win it, and then you spill out onto the streets in New York City, and you have a night. I wonder how many you can register for. Would it be one or two? I mean, I don't want to go by myself. Because I really don't want to drive my car into here, because I want it to be there in one piece when I'm ready to leave. You know what I'm saying? And we could talk about fan behavior coming up next, because, yeah, while things have been spotty and few and far between, well, it doesn't matter. Tell that to the kid who's in a coma. Tell that to the girl who had her hair lit on fire. Literally. Like, these are not okay. Tell it to the cab driver who now doesn't have a vehicle to earn a living after Knicks fans, that's Knicks fans, threw him out of his car, stomped on it, and were dancing on top of it. I mean, it's just incredible. And yeah, you could make an argument, oh, that's a few isolated incidents. Yeah, but like, there should be none of that, really. There should be none of that. How do you light somebody else's hair on fire? She didn't even know. Some guy in a suit came rushing in and put it out. Singed hair, probably burned skin. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's not celebrating. That's rioting. And we'll talk about that. That's the last thing I kind of want to leave you with. But it just came up here, so in this moment. So 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard as we enter the 4 a.m. hour here on San Antonio Spurs Elimination Day. My name is Danielle McCartan. If for some reason you listen like my dad with the transistor radio, you know, on the pillow, you can always, you don't have to call in. You can always get at me on social media. It's at Coach MCCARTAN.